Amen. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. We're going to read quite a bit of scripture. The Bible says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Now this is talking about unsaved people, and he's saying to Christians, we're not to be like that. We're Christians, we're saved, we've been born again. And it says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore," and here's some things of the old man we're to put away, "wherefore putting away lying, every man speaking truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." And by the way, that's not just talking about vulgarities or slangs or cursing. It could be just gossip, or criticism, or rebellion. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." Now notice that. "That which is good to the use of edifying." That means to build up people. I cannot tell you how many young Christians have been hurt and dropped out of church because they heard an older Christian doing what God tells us not to right here. Criticizing, complaining, bellyaching, finding fault. They did not edify, they did not encourage, they tore down authority, they tore down the ministry, they tore down the program of and the ministry of some individual. And it says that our talk may minister grace unto the hearers. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now I want you to notice two passages of Scripture in this passage that I think sums up the whole thing. First of all, in verse number 27, he says, "Neither give place to the devil." The devil has no hold in our life. He has no power over our life except we allow him to have a place in our life. When we got saved, we were indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. We were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the devil was kicked out. And the devil's trying to get a place again to harass you and hinder you and turn your life into a hell on earth. The Bible says we're not to give place to the devil. And then verse number 30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You ought to circle that, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." It is possible for Christians who are sealed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God when they're saved, and filled with the Holy Spirit when they're saved, to get away from God, still being sealed by the Spirit, but no longer filled with the Spirit, to grieve the Holy Spirit with our actions and with our talk. And the Bible says a Christian has no place grieving the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to turn over to another passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Bible says in verse number 8, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, I don't preach much on passages like that, because it's talking about the pastor, and I don't want to be guilty of self-promotion, but I want you to know the office of the man of God when he walks with God is worthy of love and esteem and respect of people. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. See, God included us in that. Support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. And look at verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Now, grieving the Spirit quenches the Spirit. And quenching the Spirit grieves the Spirit. I remember one Sunday morning several years ago, a little woman came in early and was sitting back here for Sunday school, and I went by shaking hands, and I thanked her for being here, and she said, oh, I love this church. And I said, well, thank you, and we love having you here. And she said, I love this church because you don't squinch the Spirit. I said, no, ma'am, we're against squinching the Spirit around here. And I knew what she meant. She meant what God was saying here in verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Now that does not mean future telling. It means preaching. Look it up. Despise not preaching. You ought to love preaching. Loud preaching. Soft preaching. Long preaching, short preaching, as long as it's Bible preaching, you ought to love it. You ought to love it. See, here's our problem. When we get to the place where we're not walking in the Spirit, we begin to decide which preacher we're going to like and which one we're not going to like. And by the way, that's carnality, not spirituality. Isn't that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3? Yes, it is. Thank you. In everything give thanks. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Now, I want to speak tonight very briefly, I think, on the subject, the Christian and our relationship to the Holy Spirit. The Christian and our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, help me tonight in these next few moments to help our people and help myself to learn and grow in reference to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Lord, it's just a wrong decision, a short distance. a period of a missed service between the Christian that walks in the will of God and the Spirit of God and a Christian that is at the place where he grieves the Spirit and quenches the Spirit and starts walking after the flesh. Let us be cautious and careful. Let us not be guilty of causing someone else to stumble or being a hindrance in somebody else's life. God, one of these days we're going to stand before you. And so often, people who have an inflated opinion of themselves say things in such a way they hurt innocent people. Most of the time, young Christians. God, we're going to have to give an account of it. Help us to be mindful of our words and how we talk and things we say and whether it's criticism. Lord, I'm appalled at the number of people that use a prayer request as a means of gossip. We're going to have to give an account of that. Please, Heavenly Father, help us to grow and learn and help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us to have a broken heart when Christians stumble. Help us to weep over their condition instead of acting like we're glad of it. God, help us to learn to walk in the Spirit so we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's a wonderful thing that God has made it possible for every child of God to have a close, personal relationship with God through the Holy Spirit of God. You do not have a close relationship with God if you're not walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. If you're not living a Spirit-filled life, you do not have that comfort you need, or the guidance you need, or the wisdom you need, or the power you need in your Christian life. The very moment we're saved, we're indwelt and sealed by the Holy Spirit. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22, the Bible says, talking about the Holy Spirit, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Ephesians 1, 13 tells us, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then verse 30 of Ephesians 4 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, the very moment we're saved, we're indwelt, that is, the Holy Spirit moves into our body, and our body becomes the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives in here. God doesn't live in a church house. He lives in a body of a believer. The body of a believer. And every believer is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And that takes place the moment we're saved. And according to the Bible, that indwelling of the Spirit, sealing of the Spirit, lasts the Christian until he dies or he's raptured out. One or the other. So, the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. What? No, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, we're told. And we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit by the decisions we make or the way we live. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, we are sealed and filled with the Holy Spirit the first time, filled the first time, the moment we're saved. The Holy Spirit of God indwells us and fills us. Now, the sealing of the Spirit is a one-time happening. And as I said a moment ago, it lasts until death or our rapture. However, when the Bible speaks about the filling of the Holy Spirit, we're commanded to be filled and to continually be filled or be being filled with the Holy Spirit. We know in Ephesians 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, they are not Ephesians, Acts 2, Acts 4. They were all filled again with the Holy Spirit. So it happens more times in our life. The filling of the Holy Spirit is to make it possible for us to have the power and the guidance and the authority we need, the boldness we need for Christian witnessing and Christian service. We are filled and sealed the moment we got saved. The sealing of the Holy Spirit is a one-time happening. However, God wants us to be filled continually with His Spirit. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, then we have got to be filled with the Spirit day by day, hour by hour. It's a continuing thing in our life. And then again in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the Christian is told to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know why there's people having problem with gossip? Because they're not walking in the Spirit. I'm talking about Christians. You know why Christians have trouble with pornography? They're not walking in the Spirit. Do you know why Christians have trouble with vulgarity? Because they're not walking in the Spirit. When we're not walking in the Spirit, we will fulfill the lust of this flesh. You know why Christians rebel against authority? Because they're not walking in the Spirit. Again, in Galatians 5, verse 25, the Christian is reminded that it is possible for the Christian to both live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, the Bible says. The Bible tells us that it's possible for the child of God to live and walk in the Holy Spirit's power, His wisdom, His guidance, and His comfort. And it's also possible for the Christian to walk as an unsaved man walks, one who is not spiritual, but who is carnal and worldly. Now let me ask you, which one are you? The spiritual Christian that walks in the Spirit, lives in the Spirit, or the Christian that walks carnally? 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says in verse number 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal." He's writing to Christians, even as unto babes in Christ. Look at verse 3. "For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another says, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man." We're putting too much emphasis on the man and not upon the Savior who called the man. We're putting too much emphasis on the personality and the talent of an individual and not enough on God who does the saving. The Bible says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, another of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but it was God that gave the increase." Paul saying Apollos didn't save anybody and Paul didn't save anybody. It was God and He deserves the glory. We're just the servant. We're the one privileged to be His minister, His instrument. Give glory to the one that does the saving. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. So carnality puts all the emphasis on a man. And they exalt one man over another. You know, we've got some missionaries that are outstanding church builders and outstanding preachers. And then we've got some missionaries that don't build as fast or as large. Is one less called of God than the other? No. We have churches in America that run 5,000, 20,000. We have churches that run 150. Is that preacher less called than the one that pastors the church running 20,000? No. The fact is, most of the people that are getting saved in America are getting saved in the smaller churches because there's more of them. I got saved in a church that if we had 35 on Sunday, it was a huge Sunday. We never had a preacher that lasted more than 2 years. We need to quit putting the emphasis on the person and start giving God glory. Realize that men are different in their talents, different in their abilities, different in their personalities. But it's God that called them, and God knew what they were and knew what their gifts was and knew what their abilities were when He called them. Does that make that man less important than the other man? You let me tell you something. There's going to be some pastors in little old podunk holler cities that have knocked every door in that city every year they've been there, that runs 100 in Sunday school, that's going to have more accountability and more reward when they stand before God. And somebody who's in a fast-growing city where people were just dropping in by droves. Quit judging. Quit building men into gods. Let's exalt God as God. And Jesus, when we build up men, yes, respect the man of God. There's some preachers out there that are godly men, prayer warriors, good witnesses. No, they don't have 200 saved a year in their church. They may not have 50 saved a year. But don't discredit them. By the way, they're ultimately answerable to God, not to me and not to you. Rejoice in those that have God's blessings on them, that have great ability, but don't make gods out of them. There are two things that spiritual Christians should constantly guard against. One, grieve in the Holy Spirit. And number two, quenching the Holy Spirit. When the child of God does not walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit's power, wisdom, and guidance, then he is carnal. And when we're living in carnality, we're giving place to the devil in our life. And by the way, do you know when the devil comes into a church and breaks up a church? It's seldom he comes in through an outsider. It's always somebody in the church that gave place to the devil, that didn't watch their mouth, that didn't watch their walk. They walked in the flesh and not the spirit. They were carnal, not spiritual. For my message tonight, I want us to look at these passages and see how a Christian can grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit and give place to the devil. It goes without saying that when a person grieves the Spirit, he quenches the Spirit. And when he quenches the Spirit, he grieves the Spirit. And in both cases, he gives place for the devil to move in and do his terrible work. In Ephesians 4, I'll just go through these and point them out and let the Holy Spirit do His preaching. We both grieve and quench the Spirit when we, by lying and being dishonest, when we practice lying and we're dishonest, Bible says with our neighbor, Jesus tells us who our neighbor is. In the story of the Good Samaritan. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. When we tell that little white lie, when we fabricate the story, when we're dishonest in our statement, we're quenching and grieving the Spirit of God. And then we quench and grieve the Spirit of God and we give place to the devil by carrying anger over into a new day and not dealing with it as we're told. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. God says, don't you go into the evening carrying anger over into the evening. Deal with it the same day, the same daylight hours. Don't let it build up. Don't let it turn to bitterness and wrath and hatred. When we don't deal with anger in our life, as God tells us to do, we're grieving and quenching the Spirit. It's all right here. It's nothing dynamic. It's just plain beans and bread for the Christian if you want to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And then thirdly, we grieve and quench the Spirit when we're not being diligent and honest in our labors, and it hinders our giving. Diligent, honest in our labors. Isn't it amazing how God tells us that our place on our job, the way we work on our job, affects the Holy Spirit's power and control over our life? Listen to the scripture. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. He tells us we're not to steal. Now, before you got saved, you may have thought nothing of taking something that belongs someone else, stealing it. But now you're saved. You go to work and you work 4 hours and expect 8 hours pay. Is that not stealing? Is that not being dishonest? You know, the best employee on the job ought to be Christians. We may not be most talented or the most gifted, but we ought to be the most dependable and most loyal. We ought to work diligently. And not to do so grieves the Spirit and quenches the Spirit two ways. Number one, we're stealing. It's a bad testimony. And number two, it's going to hinder our ability to give to the work of God and to the need of others. Look at it. It's in the passage. Fourthly, we both grieve and quench the Spirit when we allow corrupt communications to come from our mouths. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer." Now let me ask you, when you're talking around someone, maybe someone is there, you're not talking to them, but they're listening. And they're a new Christian. What you say and how you say it ought to minister grace to that hearer. It ought not cause them to question Christianity. It ought not cause them to question their love and devotion to Christianity. Let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth, the Bible says. It's not talking about dirty jokes only, or vulgarities, or slang. It's talking about criticism and gossip and rebellion against authority. And it quenches the Spirit of God. All of this is in the context with the passage in Ephesians 4 where he says we're not to give place to the devil and we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Next of all, we grieve and quench the Holy Spirit when we hold on to anger, wrath, and bitterness, and complaint. And we're complaining by speaking evil of others for the purpose of causing hurt. Look at Ephesians 4:31. Ephesians 4:31. Just look at it. We'll read it. That all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now that's directly under the statement, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. When we are bitter, when we show wrath and anger and clamor, cause confusion, and we speak evil, We're quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit. Evil speaking means slander, backbiting, angry expressions, tale-bearing, bringing reproach or casting reproach upon someone. And listen to it, every one of us are guilty from time to time, and every one of us ought to be big enough to treat it as sin when it happens from our mouth and in our life, because it is sin. We both grieve and quench the Holy Spirit, plus we give place to the devil when we're not kind and tender-hearted and forgiving in our relationship to others, especially to those in the family of God. Verse 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Oh, I'm not going to forgive them. You don't know what they did to me. Carnal, quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, giving place to the devil. We're to forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I promise you, no one's ever done to you what you've done to Jesus. And yet He's forgiven us. And we're to follow in His steps and follow His example. Now let me go on quickly. As children of God, we hinder our church and other Christians when we quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. And according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we quench and grieve the Spirit when we forget the nearness of Christ's coming. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Do you ever live a day and forget that His coming is near? It could be that day. Do you think that encourages Christ and blesses the Spirit? Or does it grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit when we live like Jesus is never coming back again? We grieve and quench the Spirit when we're careless and indifferent to the work and the will of God, putting our will before God's will. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. It's talking about being careless and indifferent to the work and the will of God for our lives. Do you just do what you want to in your Christian life? Or do you really seek the will of God about matters? Do you really live by the principles and teachings of God's Word? When we don't, we quench the Spirit and we grieve the Spirit. We quench and grieve the Spirit when we do not show respect to the ministry and the authority of the man of God that God has placed over His local church. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. Isn't it amazing? In both of these passages of Scripture, dealing with quenching the Spirit and grieving the Spirit, there is a passage dealing with the man of God, the under-shepherd. Look at it, if you will, in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we're not to make gods out of them. That's sin. That's wrong. There's one God. There's one Savior. There's one Holy Spirit. They alone hold their place of distinction. But we'd better learn to respect the man of God. And the Bible says, esteem him highly. It's talking about the preacher. It's talking about the pastor. The one who labors among you. The one who watches for your soul, as spoken of in Hebrews 13. Not to do so is to grieve the Spirit. Now God, through His Holy Spirit, or through Paul, exhorts all spiritual Christians to do the following. Look at verse 14. Warn them that are unruly. Warn them. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Verse 15, never render evil for evil unto any man. Follow that which is good, that which is kind and just and benevolent. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying or preaching. 21, prove all things. Hold fast to that is good. Means put everything to the test of God's word and hold fast to the proven. Then verse 22, abstain from all appearances of evil. Notice, abstain not just from the doing of wrong or evil, but abstain from even the appearance of evil. How it looks to others ought to concern us. It's not just a matter of whether it's right or wrong in our eyes. How does it look to others that may be weaker Christians? Let me conclude. We've gone through a time of peace and blessing here at Trinity Baptist Church. These last 2 years have been wonderful years and very blessed years. And the devil does not like it. He'll begin to use those who have grown weak and carnal in their walk with God to sow discord among God's people. Satan's looking for a place in your life. He's looking for those who grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit in the ways that I've mentioned in the passages that I've read. He's looking for someone to use for his purpose. And I ask you tonight, you know where you are in your walk with God. Could you be that person? Don't be foolish to think it could never happen to you or to me. When Jesus told his disciples that one of them would betray and betray him, every last one of them said, "Lord, is it I?" They knew themselves and they knew what was possible in them. And yet today in our Christian's life, we live in a world where we think it'd never be me. But it could be you. And if you're not careful, it will be you. May God help us to look at ourselves and ask the question, "Lord, is it I? Have I been a Christian that has quenched the Spirit and grieved your Holy Spirit?" And if the answer is yes, if we're honest, what do we do about it? We get on our face and confess it to God as sin. And we ask His forgiveness. And then secondly, we go to those who we have been witnesses of our acts that have grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit. And we tell them we're wrong. And then we ask them to forgive us. All of them. We must make it right to the one we've wronged. Or we've quenched the Spirit and grieved the Spirit and we've given place to the devil. Not to do so can result in terrible, terrible things happening through our life. It is sad, but it's true, that a child of God can get to the place where we no longer live in the Spirit, nor do we walk in the Spirit. Yes, we're saved, but we've grown carnal. We no longer live a Spirit-filled life. Thus, we live to fulfill the flesh. It is terrible how far away from God we can get so quickly. And I ask you tonight, where are you in your Christian life? Are you walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit? Or have you gotten away from God? Have you gotten cold? Has your mouth become critical? Corrupt communication? Have you given place to the devil? Have you been a hindrance to someone else that's struggling in their Christian life? Have you grieved the Holy Spirit of God or quenched the Holy Spirit? Listen, my dear friend. It's a terrible thing to talk about how we love souls. then we allow our spiritual life to get in a terrible place where the devil can use us to drive them away from God instead of bring them to Him. I don't want to be that Christian that quenches the Spirit. I don't want to be that Christian that grieves, that causes the Spirit to be sorrowful about the way I'm living. I don't want to be that Christian that gives place to the devil. I want to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. I want to be used of God. I want God to be pleased with my life. That means I can't always have my way and do what I want. But I've got to seek His will. Father, just a warning type message tonight. I felt it was needed.